boyfriend a pillow. Time to lie down on my boyfriend pillow.
I'm just gonna make myself into a ball.
Oh shit, we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to work here. Everybody put on their tool belts. It's time for another episode of Ballin' Out Movie Good Times. Da 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 We're back again with another great Dragon Ball film. The highlights of Tinseltown.
Oh, you know what we could have called this?
What?
The Balterian Collection.
That would have been good. Well, it's too late now.
Too late. We already named it.
We've already named it Movie Times. A title that simply could not be improved upon if we tried. Let's introduce our merry band of men. I'm Alex Patak. Ho ho! Jeremy College Hammond.
Hi, hi.
Katie College Rose Leon.
What?
Yeah, every college needs a bad girl. I'm here with anime boyfriend Long Wet Haruka, and we just watched the second Dragon Ball movie, Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle. Now, without going into the recap quite yet, I will say we all had a grand old time in the anime room today, and everyone's spirits are high as the Hollywood sign.
Mr. Toriyama, put me in your pictures. I can sing, I can dance, I can do it all. Mr. Ziegfeld said I got a great smile, $100 worth, 100 pennies even.
I'd take 3 years at Jazz Tap to be excluded from the next Dragon Ball film.
Is that Toriyama?
It's a different actor auditioning. He probably won't come back. I don't think he knows who he is yet. But we decided, because last time we did a Stuff of the Week recap and it was too long, that we're going to talk about movies we've seen lately and dish a little bit about those. So, gang, let's dish. I'm really adapting like a The Soup style entertainment personality for these episodes, and I love it. I saw, how about The Avengers? Did anybody see The Avengers?
No.
I haven't seen any of The Avengers. I thought it would be funny if I went to see Endgame and hadn't seen anything up until that point.
Jeremy, you're right. It's that 3 hours.
I know. Then I saw the runtime and I was like, I will not do that. It's not funny enough.
Wouldn't it be so epic if I made myself watch a movie I didn't understand?
That's horrible.
That's what my life is like.
Just you alone at Avengers, going like, ha ha, me. If I'm the only one who's seen it, I'll say this: pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, not worth $100 million or however much juice they crammed into that carton, but...
Yeah, I mean, I will go see it. I just don't feel the need to rush out of my way to watch a 3-hour movie with 500 people who have decided to make it their personality.
My personality is I'm Doctor Strange.
I just, you know...
Why is that?
I can move time and space. I'm a surgeon who's been in a terrible car crash. I wear long flowing robes. What is there to misunderstand?
Isn't he on Bleecker Street?
He is. He's like just in the village.
Yeah, Doctor Strange lives on Bleecker Street.
Doctor Strange,
fuck that.
He works directly for NYU.
To be fair, when they originally wrote Doctor Strange in like the fucking 50s or whatever, that was a different zone.
Right, they named him after a doctor who gets strange.
He needs to live like on the tip of a pyramid. Like, that's...
No, all of Marvel, like, exists in New York City originally.
Really? If you're going to see any Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, see Doctor Strange, because the first half of it is very anime-ish, and then the rest is just stupid fight scenes, kind of, but...
I don't like the actor that plays him, though.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, I thought it should have been just like Dr. Orpheus. I mean, Dr. Orpheus is Doctor Strange, basically, right. But like I should have.
It should have been the voice actor for Dr. Orpheus.
I think it should have been someone older and more weathered.
What if instead of a AAA star, we got my uncle from Queens?
It could have been like a. Who's the guy who played Gandhi?
Oh, what? I know what you're talking about. Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley.
He's in a different Marvel Cinematic Universe film, so it couldn't be him. He plays an Occupy Wall Street-style terrorist.
Oh, great.
Populism is a threat in all its forms, Marvel.
Is there anybody who isn't currently in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie?
No, only us. We've been left out of that cake, and I technically worked production, so that's not true. I worked on Jessica Jones.
Honestly, like, we're probably in the background as, like, unsolicited, you know, background noise at some point. I know Luke Cage was shot over in Greenpoint, and I was mad because I couldn't get to my sandwich.
Yeah.
If you were an X-Man... What would your power be?
I hate this question. Is this like...
Are we abandoning movie reviews? just quickly before we... I'll answer the question. It's just, you know, if we were keeping it short.
I'm just trying to move it along.
Okay. Well, if I was an X-Man, my power would be probably just, you know, superhuman sexual stamina.
What's your X-Man name in that case?
Thrust.
That's actually really good. I hate this conversation because
you don't have an answer yet.
I worked in comic book stores for a very long time, and I have had this conversation probably 8,000 times.
Well, you should be ready then, Katie. You should be more ready than anybody else in this room. Talkie has an answer. He snuck back in. He's going to tell you he wants to be the Human Lantern or whatever.
Makes me want to saw a piece of my ear off.
Well, I saw the AOC movie.
Wait, what's your power? I'm the only one who picked a power.
Well, Katie's trying to push us away from this conversation. I figured I'd take the hint.
Okay. Well, I think it's unfair when I'm the only one who has to pick a power. You saw the AOC movie? How was the AOC movie? I give 6 out of 10. That's my review.
The AOC movie is really good for the parts where it's the AOC movie, but like... They very clearly wanted this to be a movie.
When it's the Simone Norman movie, why am I even here?
Is that who the other person is? There's like three other people.
Simone is just a friend of ours who worked on her campaign.
Yes. She is in it a little bit.
I literally know nothing about this. What is this?
There's a Netflix documentary about, it's called like Take the House or something like that. And the bit is that they follow these four women who are running for Congress that year. One of whom is AOC, the other three are people who do not win.
There's a right-wing version of this movie just called Show Me the Feet.
But so the bit is that they're following all these women as they're doing their campaigns and whatever, and literally the only thing that you care about the whole time is AOC.
Right.
Like the rest of it, they...
Who are the other ones? Is it Ilhan Omar?
No. Nobody wins, that's the thing.
Oh, it's just her. She's the one who wins.
A woman in California, I want to say, who's... daughter died because they didn't have insurance, and then there's like a woman who lives near Ferguson, and then there's a woman who lives somewhere where they're doing mountaintop removal. The point is they're using
this
to like...
What are their powers?
Girl power.
It's girl power, yes.
Roses!
Anyways, the point is that they follow these women and like they use it to like illustrate a couple of, you know, points about like mountaintop removal and whatever, but then like very clearly about a third of the way through the movie, they're like, oh shit, none of these women end up winning, and this movie is going to be really boring if we're following them on their campaigns too. So you can see them just slowly start adding more AOC footage and right. less of everybody else.
We're going to pivot to video here.
But it's like pretty okay. You get to see a lot of AOC's deadbeat boyfriend, which is pretty funny.
He's not, doesn't he work on her campaign or something?
I don't know. He's like there a lot. It's just very funny to see him because you're just like, he looks like everybody I know.
I know. Well, the resounding conclusion on that guy is just like, you could do better, honey. But I don't think he's actually like a piece of shit.
No. He seems like a very nice, supportive partner.
I'm sure like, before she started running, he was like fine, but it's like, you better do something now, mister.
Yeah.
When you gotta start pulling weight.
I'm on TV all the time.
You need to have clout or be interesting. You just can't be another sweatshirt in the storm, okay?
She's on a national platform. She's just gonna turn Pete Buttigieg now.
What?
She could turn Pete Buttigieg, take him as her new
her new lover.
Yes.
Ew. No, that guy is horrible.
He's so lame. I love, somebody had a really great tweet about him that like might have even been Jake, that Buttigieg is so boring that you constantly forget he's gay.
Oh, the Spectre.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't that have
one
that,
of our little
doesn't
friends.
That have that clear joke structure to it where you're like, I wonder who wrote this? Some kind of humor robot I know. Somebody who seems like they can't keep a secret for sure. Anyway, yeah, I'll check that out. That's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not great. It's like
called
a good,
Bringing Down to House.
Yeah, Bringing Down to
with
House.
Steve Martin.
With Steve Martin and Queen Latifah.
And it's a movie that holds up, you're saying?
I love that documentary. About Steve Martin bringing down the monarchy of Queen Latifah.
Sometimes it is cool to be white.
Do you guys ever feel like you can't say Steve Martin's name outside of the Kermit voice?
No.
Steve Martin! Yay!
I've literally never had that problem.
That's an interesting insight. Katie,
like,
did you see a
Kevin
movie?
Nealon. You can't say Kevin Nealon's
Kevin
name with that.
Kevin Nealon.
No, I can do Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon.
That one I understand.
Okay. Katie, did you see a movie?
Like, not a new one.
Did you watch
anything this week?
The last movie I watched was the 1985 horror movie House, not to be confused with the Japanese horror movie House, which is much better.
Which one's the famous one? The Japanese one?
They're both famous, okay?
But it is about a doctor
actually,
who's on pills?
No. Actually, yeah, the Japanese one is like way more famous and a better movie, objectively. But this one has a writer with post-traumatic stress from Vietnam, but it's not Jacob's Ladder. And also, fucking the guy who plays Norm from Cheers is a wacky neighbor. Anyway, the house is haunted, y'all. He goes there to write his novel, and the house is haunted.
You should have got a hotel, bitch.
Yeah.
And then Norm comes over, and all the ghosts are like, Norm!
Norm just, like, can't take a hint, you know? He just, he just really wants to hang out with him because he was a fan of his first book, and, you know, he comes over, and he's just losing his mind trying to take pictures of the monster gooey demon ghost and stuff.
It's got to be frustrating when a writer moves to your cursed house now and you're the spirit because there's so many other options. You just appear in the paintings and you're like, go to a WeWork space! The library's right there!
It's like, just fucking go get a co-working situation. Get out.
Get out of the house.
I'm not past the idea of the people who pitch the TV show House, and they're just trying to pitch it as a body horror.
Yeah, there's a doctor, but he doesn't listen to you at all. He's got his own agenda.
and he's on pills.
Wow, that's actually a really good point. It is like basically a Cronenberg movie, but then they're like, no, it's a lighthearted comedy.
But you love it.
It's charming that he never listens to anybody.
Also, it turns out he was British, so his whole persona
How crazy is that?
There's a lot of actors like that, where you're just like, you hear them talking, you're like, oh, you're Australian as fuck? Weird.
Yeah, and this Christian Bale is one of those.
We hung out with... I couldn't believe he was British, but we hung out with Ollie. He did his American voice pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm here to buy Mars bars, everyone. Who wants to go to the Best Buy later? I'm having a good red, white, and blue time.
I love that sort of shit where you do, like... uncanny valley American accent.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that bird over there. There's a bird at the end of the bar. I'm going to go talk to that bird.
Me and my mates were thinking about hitting up a Burger King later.
Did you guys see that Burger King ad? That, like, Black Mirror ass.
Yeah,
Burger
the Depression
King
Burger King
ad?
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, I never.
That was the best movie of the week.
I already have my political views, but nothing had radicalized me more against capitalism than that ad.
Than the Baconator.
I was like, you know what? I already knew this was bad, but now I think we should be firebombing corporations.
Yeah.
Like, I started building the Molotov cocktail right as that ad ended. I'm like, well, here I go. Fucking the Pixies start playing in the background. I'm like, all right, well, see you on the other side, bitches. I'm going to go blow up a fucking Arby's.
What's that guy's name? Brandon Darby?
Whose name?
I think Brandon Darby, the guy who writes for Breitbart?
I don't have any of the staff and the halls
of my
memory.
Unlike you, we're not fucking hanging out there all the time.
Let's say his name's Brandon Darby.
I'm pretty sure
close this
Brandon
segment
Darby.
Up.
The thing that just reminded me of that is that I knew that his name sounded so familiar to me, and I remembered that he's the guy who snitched on a bunch of people at the RNC in 2008, I think it was, who were building Molotov cocktails. And that's how he got
fucking
his
snitch.
Career start. That's how a Breitbart contributor got his career start.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Let us do a firebomb one time.
Once. Just
you
once.
Fucking nerd.
They do them all the time in Greece. I want to be like Greece.
Greece. Everybody's on vacation.
I hear it's the word. Greece is the word.
Greece is the word. Greece lightning.
Greece is the word.
All right, Katie, final review of House, 1985.
It's fun. You should watch it.
Great. All right.
All right, let's talk about The Devil Princess.
That's been our trip to the cinema. And now for your regularly scheduled Dragon Ball movie feature, Dragon Ball 2, Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle. And it cannot be emphasized enough, all of these Dragon Ball movies, Dragon Ball classics, start with a goth-ass intro.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
We got another one.
As the third sun's frown rises, so does the vampire's blood stalk the mountains of despair.
Well, this one was more goth than the last one, even. Because the last one was just like, the Dragon Balls, they were made in hell.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one is like straight up just like all red and black demons just screaming.
Heavy berserk biting, which we talked about for the last movie, but we love to see it.
I love to see it.
We love to see it, don't we, folks?
Yeah, I really love this era of anime, and it's very funny to me because I have done a complete 180 where it's like, when we're watching Super and people, I have no qualms about being inaccurate. I will shit on it till kingdom come. Nothing gets past me. Like, I'm ready to tear. Well, I'm just ready to, like, not give it a break. And then I fucking love original Dragon Ball shit so much that, like, it doesn't matter how dumb it is. I'm just like, this is amazing. Stop making jokes. I love this so much. You know what I feel like? You know how every once in a while some, like, 17-year-old finds our podcast and starts live tweeting their reactions to it?
Right.
And instead of just being like, thanks for making the show or whatever, they're just like, these guys are really inaccurate. they don't know any facts about Dragon Ball, and they seem to be making fun of it a lot. I become that teenager.
It's true.
I'm like, why are you guys making fun of this classic show? It's perfect and amazing.
Well, I didn't think there was anything to make fun of in this wonderful cinematic adventure we embarked on here. And just the beginning already, we're laughing and clapping along. The theme song plays. Ba-da-da-da-ba-da.
Hey.
Oh yeah. It's the theme you know, but there's a disco background. And that goes on for like 7 to 10 minutes,
it's
so you can
so
eat
long.
The food you brought to your podcast before you have to start taking notes. Big two thumbs up for this feature. I loved it. I finished my curry rice and the note-taking began. So despite the fact that it was an incredibly epic goth intro, we're cutting to the beginning of the film, and guess what it is? It's Goku with a fish. What you need to realize is, it's always going to be Goku with a fish.
He loves fish.
He loves fish. He's a growing boy. He's a 12-year-old boy with a baby's pudgy body that has superhuman strength somehow.
Is he 12? I think he's younger. I think he's supposed to be like fucking straight up 7 years old or something.
Yeah, I think
seven.
He might be
right. You're
right.
Yeah, you're right. I lied about his age for attention.
See, I'm already becoming this person.
Because if he was 12, then you'd see some pubic hair developing.
That's true. There's a lot of time spent in this movie and Dragon Ball in general with friend of the show, baby Goku penis. And folks, it's young.
No.
To the point where, like, they don't even animate it. They're just like, they put like a smiley face where it is, and you're like, yeah, I guess that's a penis. but this, the beginning of the movie, Goku is fully clothed, he's in his blue gi, and he's got a tiny little fish, and he's smiling at it, and he brings it to Master Roshi's house. Master Roshi is watching a home exercise video and just cheering it on.
Well, they don't show his hands. We know what's happening.
Why doesn't it... If he had like a full shell and it wasn't just a backpack, then he could be, you know, working it in there and then, you know.
Yeah, that seems like a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, but then he would have to clean it out, which
Go in the ocean. You're an old man who lives alone on an island with a talking turtle. It's fine.
Good point, actually.
The question I have, and I thought about this a little bit last movie, but if all he cares about is watching young women, why does he live alone on an island? You could just go to a beach on a normal beach. There will be women there. It's like
court orders, Alex.
Court
Oh, right. He's an exile from society.
They're like... He just had one too many incidents, and he took himself out of the picture because he knew that they were going to... You know, that's international waters.
Yeah. He's doing a John McAfee.
The scene's getting too hot. I'm taking my speaking turtle and heading to the island. Goku surprises him. We're introduced to the characters we know and love. We love it. We love it. We love it. Goku hears something kind of far away. Master Roshi's like, I don't hear anything. There's too much blood in my ears from slapping my meat wagon.
It's also because Goku has super sensitive abilities.
Ladies, Goku is sensitive. He's not like the other children. He hears a boat on the horizon. Who is it? Why, it's Krillin, a new addition to the cast.
Tiny peanut Krillin is such a dick, and I love it.
I love that his head's a circle.
Yeah.
I love that he's always got like a coy look on his face, like, what?
Yeah, he's just such a little shit heel.
Yo, what if I lived on Karate Island? Is that a problem? Okay. You can tell he's a scamp right away.
He's always been a little piece of shit, but I appreciate at least that he's like a fun piece of shit at this point in his life.
Yeah, when he's a little kid, it's fun to see what a piece of shit he is, but he definitely has that vibe of someone who, like, gets mad when you don't adhere to the rules, but then also that works out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's the kind of kid who grows up a little bit more and, like, breaks a cat's leg or something like that.
Yeah, he's, like, a little piece of shit, but we all like him. And Jeremy's comment watching it was, this is sad the way it is when you find a picture of a cop as a child. And that's really all you need to know about Krillin. He's begging Master Roshi to join his karate school. Master Roshi says, I don't make any money. How am I supposed to feed two boys? I'm a pervert on an island. I have nothing for you. And then
he must get a lot, like, imported, because he's got, like, those big meat bones and stuff, and, like, there's no animals to, like, hunt on his island. There's nowhere to shop.
There's gotta, like, be, like, a ferry that picks up.
That's turtle meat. That's all. That's a different turtle every time.
It's a bone. It's like the spine of a turtle with meat around it.
And I guess, like, in universe, they never really explore other turtles. So it's, like, totally possible that all turtles talk in Dragon Ball universe.
Right. They're like the octopuses of our world. You should not eat them, but we do. Krillin makes an exchange. He's come prepared for Master Roshi. He has Maxim magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you'll like this, you old lecher. Won't you, you nasty dog?
Look at this. They've got ladies in bathing suits and a feature on the television series Suits.
There's a 20 best ways to wear a tie and then 90 pages of naked women.
Maxim still exist?
They must.
They definitely do.
Really?
That will be the last magazine shut down.
I just feel like it's such a, like, a pretend magazine. They're like, what if it was Playboy, but no one's tits were out, but mostly out.
And also the articles suck.
The articles suck. There's also no reason to have porn in magazine format anymore. There's a lot working against it, but there's still just enough people who are like, it's a naked lady, I don't care. Just take everything I have. Just take my shoe. I live in the subway.
Sandwich shop, not the underground.
I live in a subway sandwich shop. These are the decisions I've made. My house is made of Maxim magazines. This is all to say Master Roshi is very taken with this magazine and says, of course I'll train you, but I can't train the two of you because I don't have enough food. Here's what's going to happen. There is an old legend of... Bless you, Katie. There's an old legend of a mysterious devil down the ways over at a rock formation called the Devil's Hand in the middle of the ocean. And there is a sleeping princess there, captured by terrible monsters. Whichever of you boys goes and gets that sleeping princess and brings her to me, you can train on my island.
And everybody's like, what do you need a sleeping princess for? And he's like, don't worry about it. None of your fucking business, Goku.
Do you know who I am? I'm Bill fucking Cosby. Who are you? You're nobody. They gloss right on past that, and the movie can begin. Goku gets on his cloud and is like, yeah, I'll have this girl in like 15 minutes. And Master Roshi's like, that's cheating. It's cheating. It doesn't count if you use the cloud. It's cheating. And so he has to swim by hand like in Beowulf. In Beowulf, they have a contest where they have to swim across the oceans, and that's what Goku and Krillin have to do now. Fizzle fazzle, plittle plop, we're swimming through the ocean, plittle plop. Now, what did you all think of this ocean race? It's a fun start to the movie.
It's a fun little thing. It starts off that fun little segment of them.
Krillin trips Goku, they run in the water, they're swimming, a shark tries to eat Krillin, they run on the land, they're fighting. I don't feel well, I'm gonna do what I want. I do not need to talk in the microphone. Do not police my body and voice, okay?
Don't police her body.
People to be able to hear you.
They don't need to hear shit. I got nothing important to say. say. Literally nothing I say matters.
Well, I liked that we get to see such treachery so early on. Krillin, okay, he shakes Goku's hand. He says, let's have a fair race. Trips him right away.
Right away.
Goku beats him across the sea. Krillin jumps ahead of him on a bridge and cuts the bridge off so he falls into a ravine.
Just setting himself up early for his future career where he solicits drug dealers by saying, like, yeah, it's cool. I'd love some drugs. I'm not a cop.
I'm on the level, man. Have you seen my shaved head?
Would a cop have a shaved head?
Krillin keeps planting crack on Goku's body. Goku's just getting rid of crack packets the entire race. Krillin pulls ahead of Goku when he falls in the ravine, and then he takes a bus and then is on the bus, and you see him look across a field, and then there's a storm of bison, there's a herd of bison stampeding, and then he goes and sits on the bison instead, and that's how he goes. And that never comes up again, but I just thought that was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, I love that. I also liked sassy Krillin eating a lunchbox on the bus, just like, haha, you dumb idiot.
And I got lunch. My whole team coming up. Everything's looking good, Krillin-wise. They somehow reach the Devil's Hand at the same time.
Well, because Goku zaps past them, and he's just like, I'm Goku? Like,
yeah.
Maybe you haven't heard. I'm Goku.
Goku's little baby voice in this like got me emotional.
Weird dub.
It's a weird dub. It's not the main kid Goku voice.
Goku sounds more like a real child, which I liked, but it'll do things where like the face is doing a lot, and the voice is just like, I'm ready to fight.
I liked it, but yeah, it like, I don't know, man. It fucks with me. I have a weird thing where if I see baby photos of the fucked up adults in my life, it makes me sad, and I think that's like what I'm experiencing.
That's what's happening.
Mom's like, do you want these pictures of me and my family as kids? I'm like, definitely not. I cannot afford therapy right now.
Well, we were talking also while we were watching about how it's like vaguely reminiscent of like the Charlie Brown cartoons.
Right, and I love Peanuts. Fun wholesome facts about KRL is I love Peanuts.
Dude, I love Peanuts. Who's your spirit peanut?
Oh, I'm Spike.
Which one is Spike?
Fuck you, dog. Spike's Snoopy's brother.
Huh? Oh, Snoopy's brother. Okay.
Fuck you. That's who Spike is. I was really hoping that was a made-up character. It was just a long burn. And my favorite Peanuts character is probably Snoop Dogg. Eat shit.
It's Kevin. I like Kevin.
I'm a Spike with a Sally rising.
I like that.
Yeah, because okay. Sally's underrated.
I'm real Linus Hours.
Oh, because you're an insufferable ass?
That's right. I got a blanket, and I need it for my wellness.
I'm Joe Cool.
The camel? The camel who smokes cigarettes?
Oh, because you sexually harass women while they're walking by?
Who are the good Peanuts characters, Katie?
No, I actually love Joe Cool. I love all. I like Linus, but he is like, he's like that dude that you're just trying to be like, oh yeah, I like that movie, and they're like, actually, have you ever considered the philosophical impacts of blah blah blah? And you're like, I was just trying to have a conversation.
I'm just trying to be a woman in Peanuts comics. If that is a problem for you.
Oh, you know, what's his name? Schroeder.
Yeah.
Is like the original train dick.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Who's Schroeder?
Schroeder's the one with the piano. Oh. And like the whole thing of him is that he's like too good for everybody else, and like everybody tries to be friends with him, and like,
that's not true. It's just Lucy's just like up on his dick and he's not having it. Like, he like, plays baseball play with everybody. Piano. He's their catcher.
They heard he got that train dick. Choo choo. Nine cars. My God. I legitimately didn't understand what you meant by train dick for like a full 45 seconds.
You weren't on that episode. No. You're missing out on all of these classic riffs.
I heard the nice train man. He was wonderful. Okay, well, we got to get back to the story because, again, this is a movie and they're long. So, they're having a race. It's wonderful. Bulma and Yamcha show up at Master Roshi's island and they say, "Hey, I'm looking for our friend Goku. Where is he?" And Master Roshi says, "It appears you've caught me jogging my log." "I lied and sent them on some bullshit quest so I could be alone for 5 fucking minutes." Bulma and Yamcha. Yamcha has a... let's talk about Yamcha's outfit for a second. It is not like the last movie.
No.
Why'd he cut his hair?
He cut his hair short. He's dressed like... He's like,
dudes always have the wrong idea. They're like, "I will cut my hair short and then grow a big beard." I'm like, opposite, please. I would like opposite.
He is wearing what could be described as Muslimic robes.
Muslimic?
No.
He's ready for kinetic interventions with nunchuckery. He has short weeb hair. Me and Yamcha have the same haircut now.
His drop crotch pants were like the droppiest of crotches.
Yeah, they were like it was hammer time.
Yeah.
The whole movie. And I loved it. My review is hair-wise, I liked it better before, but I love the new Power Rangers outfit. Shit rules.
It's just not. It's not doing it for me, man.
Not doing it.
But you know what? I like being freed of these bonds. Whenever someone I have a crush on does something to like lessen the blow, I'm like, thank God I was running out of time in my life.
They've loosened my chains. My romantic chains.
Having a crush on someone is like so time consuming, and I get a crush on almost everyone that speaks to me.
Right.
It's like amazing that I have a job.
My crush is still Emperor Pilaf. Meow, 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 meow.
Talk about real train dick over here.
You don't know what that means.
No.
You've been gone for so long.
I've forgotten who I am.
Yeah, you thought you could just come back to your hometown and act like nothing changed, college, but we all out here living our lives.
We're out here living our lives getting fucking heroin addictions out here.
Some of us aren't going to school and watching the full Dragon Ball film and its sequel in an evil castle. You too good?
You too good, what are you, Mr. Like? J-Pan?
You know, regionally, they call it Nihon College.
I know you got a passport, but I got your passport
right here.
Right here. I'm holding up a six-pack of domestic Bruce.
Okay, well, that's what you need to know. Bulma and Yamcha, they're in the movie. Puar and Oolong are back. Our old friends, Puar and Oolong, from your favorite series, Shapeshifter Academy, number one.
Shapeshifter Academy.
Boop, 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 boop.
My academia, my heart.
Boop, 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 boop.
First you look like things, then you look like other things. Shapeshifter Academy.
And then the second verse is
quiet
about nothing
moon!
Related.
just
the stars align for you!
Very quick, like, the end of the Japanese opening for the American X-Men cartoon is this, like, weird metal song, and it ends with going, "Cry at the moon!" I screamed at the end of every anime opening to my partner's delight.
So Bulma and Yamcha decide they will chase after Goku in a plane, and everything's going fine. They're taking a plane over the sea, and they say, "Hey, I think we're near Goku. Wait, there's something on the wing. Oh my God, gremlins! Gremlins have boarded our plane and are punching our plane!"
What is this, John Lithgow?
Why is it John Lithgow?
Because in the Twilight Zone movie from the 80s, it was John Lithgow with the gremlin on the plane.
In the show, it was William Shatner.
William
right?
Shatner.
No one believes me. There's a gremlin punching our plane. doing karate style chops to the windshield. So their plane goes down, and it's very sad.
It's real Black Hawk Down hours.
It's that missing Malaysian plane. That's what happened to it.
That's what happened to it.
And there were gremlins. We cut to Bulma waking up in a big comfy bed. What's this? But she was just in a plane crash. How'd she get in a big comfy bed? She stirs. She looks around. She sees, my God, I'm in a room with a sexy vampire.
Yeah, alpha hours.
Yeah, it's there's a vampire here, and he has a name, but you can just call him Chad, because he is a tall drink of evil water.
I think it's important we say his name, because it's so funny.
His name is not Chad, it is Count Lucifer.
As if you needed to add more weight to the name Lucifer.
He's like, hi, I'm blue, and my name is Count Lucifer. And Bulma's like, dreamy. And I'm like, same girl. He does have tuxedo mask voice in the beginning.
He does.
I get it.
Let's face it, he's hot. And the thing about Bulma is anyone over 5'10", she's on board.
Oh no, Vegeta, what's up with that?
That fuels a lot of the pathology later in the show, I think.
Yeah. That's some red pill shit where like she got to a certain age and realized she couldn't score those 5'10 daddies anymore. She hit the wall and had to settle for a beta.
Yamcha's not answering her calls.
Nobody ever presents that possible theory. Nobody's ever like, maybe Yamcha fucking...
He's just a piece of shit. I feel like that's the most realistic likelihood.
Yeah, he's like just in that shitty apartment, like, showed her.
They go out on a date that's like her funeral for her 24th birthday. Sorry, babe, this is the cutoff.
But like, knowing the people that we know in our lives, like, would it be even a little bit surprising if Yamcha is still completely like slamming in that fucking shitty apartment?
Oh, he's doing great. I think what they're doing is they're cutting, like, you know, because it's not integral to the Dragon Ball Super plot, but they don't have all those cutaways where, like, after they all shit on him, he just like gets picked up by like a fucking 25-year-old in a sports car.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's your name again, Lillian? She's like, it's Jess. And he's like, whatever.
Last night was Lillian.
Every time Goku gets on the Nimbus and then Yamcha shows up later, he's traveling by Bang Bus. He has to escort his way past the van PA.
Listen, man.
I need you to look into that camera and say crunchyroll.com.
I know you think minor league doesn't have hoes, but they do, okay?
My God. Okay, well, Yamcha's not in this scene. Other important character we have to meet right now is Igor, who is fantastic.
The best.
Igor, well, if you hear the name Igor and know he's a friend of Count Lucifer, what do you think their relationship is? It's that. You nailed it. Igor is this super low-key voice and is just like, oh, I'm a little bitch.
I do love that Igor is super salty about any sexual tension that might exist. Yeah. So, like, even though he knows that it's part of Lucifer's plan to, like, lull Bulma in a false sense of security, he keeps being like, we're going to eat you, though. So, like, don't think he actually likes you.
He doesn't even care about you. It's all about lunch.
Also, he's carrying, like, a syringe the size of his body. And Bulma,
to every scene.
And Bulma doesn't notice it until, like, the last possible
moment.
He
always has it. And for the listeners who aren't watching these movies along with us, the hole in the syringe has to be the size of, like,
a quarter.
At least a quarter. I'm thinking a silver dollar.
A silver dollar, yeah.
It's a big syringe, folks.
Oh, my God. Make up your fucking mind, cat.
He just wants to come in and out. He's so excited about the Dragon
Ball.
What
I like about Igor is that he has such little pathos as a character, but you know everything about him just by the tone of his voice. Like, they had three musicals they cut of Igor just being like, one day, I'll find my own girl.
Oh, yuck. You know, I always want to count Lucifer, but I keep, you know, only ones chasing after me are these Igors. I just gotta settle.
Lose my number, Igor. So, Bulma... Bulma is fully fallen for Count Lucifer, and it's gonna lead to trouble, as we all know. We cut back to Goku and Krillin, who have crawled into the Devil's Hand, which is a big, ominous cave. And they're looking around the cave, and they can't really see anything. And there's this great line where Goku says, "Is this place radical or what?" And then Krillin says, "Yeah, radically scary."
The writing's perfect. A plus, 100.
Yeah,
14 Dragon Ball writing. Yeah, so Goku and Krillin are going through the cave. Krillin squints, he says, "I think I see something." And Goku says, "Oh, you mean that entire army?" And then 1,000 green trolls charge over them, stampeding them into the ground, leaving them as little cartoon footprints going, wow, wow, wow.
And they all have guns.
Yeah, all of the... As if it weren't bad enough that they're an army of monsters, they have been fully supplied by the CIA.
Yeah, these are, we're talking about moderate rebels here. This is a...
Lucifer has been placed by the U.S. government, and they're going to keep it that way.
Lucifer is the only viable option to socialism in the Devil's Hand. We have fully armed his Contras. So they get stampeded. Only one demon notices them, and they look up. They look up his leg. He's not green like the other ones. He's red, and they look up, and he's just in, like, full Japanese pageantry outfit. He is just, like, maximum Japan hours demon, and he has a... His weapon is, like, a long rod with a bulb at the end.
It's cool.
And he's like... I'm going to kick your ass, because you're children in my cave.
And then they fight, and it's cool.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Hey.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, boy.
Fighting a child with your big spiky ball. And then Goku punches... Oh, this is the great scene where Goku and Krillin take on, like, 100 active shooters by themselves.
Yes.
And we were just watching that being like, yeah, I could fucking do that, dude.
Yeah, this is what the legislation in Florida is all about.
Yeah, you let them get in close, and then you tie your headband and go, kya, kya! Three blows to the abdomen! Kya!
Yeah, it turns out you just have to stand directly below the gun, and you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. You're totally fine.
You're totally fine. It does help. They have very small hit boxes. I think that improves their odds very well. Jeremy added it was actual footage of Mark Wahlberg if he was on that plane in 9/11. They just defeat like 1,000 guns. And then you clap for them because you love to see it. Count Lucifer, meanwhile, has taken Bulma on a date. She is all for him. She's following around, floating in the air, drooling. And he says, "Here, babe, we're finally at my spot." And he opens the doors, and it's a pantheon of screaming demons. The Gillette Stadium of demons.
Wait, before we move on, has there ever been a cartoon depiction of... Like in a sex scene, somebody like floating towards the person, like in a cartoon with like a ham. You know what I'm talking about? Like
yeah.
Like you smell the ham and you like float towards it. Like, has that ever happened with like somebody's dick or something?
Probably, yeah.
All right, back to the Gillette Stadium.
Yeah. So there's like a billion million. No, I approve of your riff.
The riff went nowhere. It's fine.
I got a text. I can't provide these critical supports sometimes.
I'm pressing X and nothing's happening.
Where Katie trying is to it? Skip this riff. There's a billion million demons. They're all screaming, but in the demon-y way where they're like, oh. And Bulma looks up and is like, "This isn't Red Lobster." And he's like, "That's right. These are my friends, and we're going mudding."
It may not be Red Lobster, but there's unlimited shrimp.
And he makes some cryptic comment about how much food they're about to eat. She's like, "Oh boy, food!" And then sits in this big chair that immediately demon ties her in via every anime device and says, "Ha ha! The food is you, Bulma.
Your blood, specifically.
You've been wondering why we're carrying a giant syringe next to you. Guess why?" We're taking it out of your boobs. And then all the demons are like, yeah!
Here's the thing, though. It's like, there are so many demons.
There's too many demons.
Too fucking
many. No, there's a ton, but like...
You don't need that many friends, Lucifer.
I'm just saying, like, Bulma ain't gonna feed all those.
There's no way she's got enough
It's
blood.
That thing where you like...
Maybe it's like symbolic, like in Passover.
Yeah, yeah, you bring like not enough wine for the whole party and everyone has like 2 ounces of wine. They're like, oh, yeah, this is good. We are having fun. Oh, no, I'm just glad we got some blood because it's a special day.
This is the part two where they start to like put the alcohol swab on her boob in order to syringe it.
That's hilarious.
And she says something along the lines of, "I don't do that, at least not on the first date."
Yeah.
Which I appreciate that insight into Bulma's character, that she's cool and she fucks and that's cool.
That's her whole character.
Well, she doesn't
character.
Fuck on the first date, yeah. though.
But I mean, like, at this point, like, we don't know yet. I like
that. I know.
Like, she's kind of like...
She's putting it out
she's
there.
She's letting
That's...
us know.
How many dates does it take, Bulma?
Before somebody can
swab your
titty.
The fans want to know. I'm trying to get a swab in. It's also pretty funny they are swabbing them, because it's like, presumably they're going to suck the life out of her, but like, you know what? An infection. I'm Igor. I do the little things.
Yeah. Actually, that implies that they're going to keep her alive.
Right.
Well, but they do
like in a Taken situation.
When they do the lethal injection, they do
they swab you.
Yeah.
Why?
They thought it's one of those delightful.
It's just
ironies.
One of those funny things.
One of those things you could write a stand-up comedy routine about.
Ooh, I hope Jerry Seinfeld gets on it. Yamcha and the gang hears her scream from 2 miles away, and they start running towards it. Meanwhile, Krillin, gloating that he's defeated all of these demons, gets suddenly swooped up by a pterodactyl. Oh no! Gah! Gah!
Whoosh! Whoosh!
Hold on, Krillin, I'll save you! Ah!
Whoosh.
So at this point, I should point out that I've had a huge headache all day.
Ah, pterodactyl claw!
Whoosh.
The Goku chases after the pterodactyl, determined to free his friend on the flying Nimbus. Only to see, what's that? It's flying Contras! With machine guns on hoverboards. Oh, no, they have wings. They have wings. They're
Except
like,
for Big Red has weird
Big Red
fireball
skates. He has, like, double skateboards made out of flying Nimbuses.
Also known as roller skates.
He has feet double skateboards, they're called. And he uses that to fly around after Goku. And surprise, Goku's got to take on the whole squad. And it's cool. He's hitting them with his power pole. He's smashing them out of the air. Krillin's doing a karate chop. Everybody's getting owned. He has a sword fight with the red guy, and surprise, guess who wins? Goku wins. That's right. So that's the action that we've been waiting for, because this is a movie, so that's why you're here. You're here for that sweet pole. And now it's time to get to the plot. So the demons are going to harvest Bulba's boob milk and drink it, and they're going to use the jewel that Count Lucifer has kept in a secret vault.
Calls the princess for no reason, and they never explain it.
Right. It's the jewel is the sleeping princess. What a twist. And they're going to use it to do some nefarious demon thing we find out later. It's at this point, Launch. Remember her from Dragon Ball? She's blonde, and then she sneezes, and she becomes blue. She motorcycles in Devil May Cry style and steals the princess jewel and then gets away. And then everybody just has to reconcile that introduction to the movie. Launch
means
is here.
Nothing. There's no... It's just so out of fucking nowhere.
Well, they have a shot of her really early in the movie being like, I found where it is. I'm going to go get it now.
I love jewels and shooting. Ha ha!
I mean, yes, that's her character.
Yeah, she loves jewels and shooting.
The only thing better than a rock on my wrist is a rock in my gun. Launch, 1985. She gets away on her motorcycle. Yamcha and Puar and Oolong are trying to save Bulma. They are foiled. Goku tries to save Bulma and is foiled. Launch falls down the stairs and sneezes. Because if she sneezes, she becomes horribly inept and can't do anything. And then she's Blue Launch, and it looks like everyone's been captured by the evil Vampire King. What a tough situation. You hate to see it, Vampire King.
Yep.
So this part, you know, everybody, the whole team's taking it pretty hard. I had finished my food by this point. It's a hard time. So... the way the count gets Goku is he uses Krillin as a hostage, and then Goku gives him what he wants and gets gang style beat down by like 1,000 monsters, yes, who pull his tail, making right. him weak.
Yeah,
it's like gangland.
It's bad.
It's real bad. And there's this funny line where Count Lucifer sees he's gonna win, and he's really like, it's all going to his head, and he just looks at the moon and goes, "There will be a picture of a monster on every cereal box."
Which is when I pointed out that this is actually one big Spawn Con for like Count Chocula.
Yeah, this is before Booberry. Before that dream became a reality. No crystals involved. Goku and the whole team are in a hard spot. They are imprisoned in blue carbonite with only their hands and faces free so they can breathe in a mysterious part of the cave. And they're thinking, I do not know how we are going to get out of this mess. There is a vampire out there with a whole hip-hop style gang, and they seem to do just whatever he wants. And it's at this point that we realize that the vampire's plan, Count Lucifer's plan, is to use the jewel as a focal point for a laser beam that he will use to blow up the sun.
Yeah, because they don't like it. They, you know, people like the sun, but monsters,
they don't like
monsters
it.
Don't like it.
They don't like it. They don't care if we have to, if the planet will just be like flown out into space because there's no gravitational
they would love anymore. That love they're that. Monsters. Everything is opposite day for monsters. And so now, knowing that the stakes are so high, Goku looks up at the sky and sees the moon and
well,
is like,
he didn't know. He's just like, they're just stuck in carbonite, in that carbonite wall.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like the whole gang's stuck in there. They're like, how are we going to get out? And Goku's like, there's the moon. The gang's like, ruh-roh.
Oh, shit.
And Krillin's like, oh, looks like dumb baby Goku finally shit his dumb baby diaper. And they're like, you fucking idiot.
You're gonna see.
You're gonna talk about him like that? Do you know who his fucking dad is?
Goku is a veteran of many two people wars. And sometimes he is an ape.
Goku lost his eye in Afghanistan.
And people don't know what to say when Goku becomes an ape because it's so traumatic. So you just have to look over at him and somebody says, I guess it's Ape City.
Yamcha, in which I had the epiphany, like, up until this point, I was like, oh, my Yamcha attraction is because he's a bad boy with a devil-may-care attitude. I'm like,
just
oh,
like
no.
You.
Why I like Yamcha is he thinks he's a bad boy with a devil-may-care attitude, but really he's just quirky comic relief in somebody else's rom-com, just like me.
Katie is Yamcha. It's canon.
I am Yamcha, and it's a weird moment for me to grapple with, but you know yeah. what? I believe in you. Beep, beep, ribby, ribby. Introduce me to your friend wearing a Hawaiian shirt, because we're the ones that end up together at the party.
A lot of parallels. Katie lives with a delightful cat. Katie is always changing
her hair. Yeah. She played for a minor league baseball team for many years. She travels on the bang bus.
I'm driving the bang bus.
Just chomping a fat cigar in the front like, you're getting the seats wet.
I didn't know you had a commercial driver's license.
You know what? You get that license from God.
The city should change that, probably. Okay, all right. So Goku, he's a big ape, is the point. It's Ape City. It's Ape City. You love to see it. Ape City, bitch. Ape City. Ape City, bitch. He's smashing and crashing. He's using his big feet. He's using his hands that are big ape hands.
I'm having a delayed reaction. Excuse me.
It's bananas out there.
No! No!
Goku is out of control. And so, even though it frees them, it seems like it would fix the entire situation. Puar turns into giant scissors, and Yamcha cuts off his tail in a big, meaty tail
no
snipe.
There was no blood.
No blood.
No, clean cut by tier one operator, Katie Yamcha.
Yeah, we're talking about some tactical scissors here.
So, Count Lucifer is charging up his beam, and he says, "Ha ha! I fucking hate the sun. Surprise, this movie's been about me blowing up the sun. Come back. Buy the toys." And Goku says, "Not fucking today. I may be an ape, but when you touch my fucking sun..."
You left out a critical detail in which when Goku turned back to normal, all his clothes were torn off and his little baby dick was flopping.
Yeah, his little baby
around.
Dick. This
and
is...
then so he shows up to kick Lucifer's ass wearing Oolong's pants.
Yeah, he's so funny. Suspenders. He looks like a delightful little German lad.
He looks like Hagar from Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
He looks like an old-timey Italian dad on the street of New York.
He have a baseball bat over his shoulder and like a really hairy back.
He has that perfect like a cartoon child's body where you're just a series of orbs packed into suspenders. Which we love because it's much better than the Uncanny Valley jacked child model they keep going to later where he's like, the thing about Goku is he's got an 8-pack and it was through hard work. We hate that. Get rid of that. So he decides, you know what? I think I'll save the sun and I'm going to do a big Kamehameha right at this beam it before it beams the sun. And it's so big.
It's so fucking big.
The beams used to be so big, folks.
Back in my day, Kamehamehas were three times the size, and you only needed one.
We used to be able to take the trolley to the bakery and get bread for a nickel, and Kamehamehas fucking meant something.
Not today, like these Gokus kneeling for the flag. It all just comes back to the same thing. So his beam is so big, it hits the other beam, and Count Chocula dodges his, but it gets hit by the one that's supposed to hit the sun, and it fucking melts his whole fucking brain and body, and he's totally owned, and he's fucking owned.
He's dead a second time.
Yep, could not be more owned.
And the day is saved. Yay! Thanks to our good friends. Hooray! Yay!
They pose for a photo. Who took the picture?
No idea.
And yeah, they go back to the island. Master Roshi is surprised that they're back and is like, frankly, you know what? You can just stay here. I don't know why I was so uptight before. That was pre-cum Roshi. This is post-cum Roshi.
Well, it's because they brought him a woman.
Oh, yeah. They bring him a whole woman that he disappears with immediately. Oh, that's how it ends. Right. So they bring Launch back to Roshi and they're like, do with her what you will.
But she sneezes and then shoots him in the head.
She shoots him in the head. He gets 3 bullets in the head. And
is fine.
And you gotta laugh.
Yeah.
And then they all have a synchronized backup dance that it freeze frames on. We're like, what is this for the ending of a movie? What is this weird pose? Okay, cool. I guess bullets really will never kill a character in Dragon Ball. That's the one thing we know for sure. And that's the movie, everybody. Yeah!
Movies!
I loved it. All right, out of 7 Dragon Balls, Jeremy College Hammond.
You're coming to me first.
Okay. Did you not want to do it? All right.
I mean, I'm going to give it 7 out of 7.
All right. That's fair. I just assumed.
To see if you two did also.
I just assumed.
Yeah. I actually don't like this one as much as the first one. I still love this show so fucking much.
Yeah.
But it's more of a 6 for me.
I would also give this a 6 because I thought that the plot was like
a little too scattered.
Well, it was like,
I just wanted
it
more
made
Yamcha.
More sense than the last one, but it was like complete horse hockey from start to finish.
Horse hockey?
What am I watching? Horses play the great ice game?
I'll revise mine down to 6 to get you to your other podcast on time.
Oh my god, I would love not to do this dragon right now. I'm sorry, not to be out of the room while a dragon visits right now. Thank goodness that's not happening.
Did you hear that the female ice hockey players are all on strike for better wages?
Here?
Yeah.
There are female ice
Actually,
hockey players?
Internationally and here. They oh. all did oh. it. It just it happened yesterday.
That's oh, a general geez. Strike.
It's well, fucking hey. Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Solidarity with striking
and
hockey
female
players
hockey
we didn't know existed.
Real. It does exist. They get paid like jack shit next
Yeah, I bet.
Compared to the NHL, and they're so good.
Yeah,
that Yeah, makes we're sense. On their side. General strikes. If you have a general strike, frankly, you will be hard pressed to find a thing I won't be on board for. I just love fucking up industry. So Godspeed, ice women.
Yeah, so there you go, guys. I helped our brand this week for once.
Good job, Katie.
Thank you.
Did you organize the strike?
Yeah. I was like,
what did you do?
I was like, hey, go on strike.
It'll help my brand.
Devo doesn't have any new album releases this week. You should go on strike.
Excuse me. I don't like this attitude
oh,
I am now
boy.
Getting.
Yeah, so that was great. 666 for the demon movie. That's tight as hell. I
yeah,
loved
that's pretty
it.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
That too.
Oh, Hail Satan and his lordship.
Demon song here.
What's a demon song?
The mom.